Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning. And I want to open up in prayer first. Lord God, we come to you as your saints of God. And Father, we ask that you continue to reveal yourself to us each and every day. In a greater way every day. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We give ourselves to you. We just thank you for this day, for we truly say that this is the day in which you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, as I come this morning to bring the word of God, to feed your sheep, Father, I pray that you would be heard through me, that you would be seen through me. Lord God, that you would touch the souls through me. I pray that, Lord God, deliverance will come forth, that healing will come forth, that salvation would come forth. We thank you. We glorify your name. I don't take this opportunity to stand before the people and to bring the word. I don't take it for granted. Father, move me out of the way so that you can be seen and so that you can be heard. May your anointing fall. May your anointing move forth through the airways. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. This morning, I'm going to follow up on a message that I gave on February the 23rd of 2020, and it titled Living in the Overflow. Amen. Amen. What I want to do first is I just want to recap briefly on part one. And I told a story. And the story went something like this. Years ago when our kids were younger, we lived as a family in Mechanicsville, Virginia, in a subdivision named Cherrydale. And there was a large lake in the subdivision. And at the lake was a play area for kids to swing, slide, and play. Plus, I would fish in the lake every now and then. The lake had an overflow that helped to control the depth and level of the lake. There were times when the overflow was open that allowed the water to drain from the lake. It would be an outpouring of power and strength that made one stand in awe. As Christians, we believe that Christ does many different things that are similar to that overflow at that lake. Christ displays his power by sending, and grab hold to this, by sending various times of outpouring. Yeah. Now, this message isn't about the coronavirus or the pandemic, but then again, it is. It ties into that. As I was sharing with Sister Sheila Marsh a few moments ago, many are trying to figure out, did God cause it or not? Did the devil? It doesn't matter. One thing I do know, and that is God is allowing it. Amen. For his glory and for his purpose. Amen. The Lord pours out his power to transform. This is from part one. He pours out his blessings to assist. He pours out his spirit to sanctify. He pours out his spirit, his presence to comfort. He pours out his love to encourage. He pours out his mercy to save. And he pours out his grace to forgive. And I feel that I had another message, but I felt that this, I needed to go to part two, because this coronavirus, this pandemic, we can either see it as a negative, and I'm sad because of the souls that have passed away. But we who are living, this is a great opportunity to seek the presence of the Lord. See, as I talk and preach and minister about the overflow. See, we've heard about my cup is half full, my cup is half empty. No more for me.
Amen. Amen.
I'm greedy for God. That's one thing that we can be greedy for.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with being greedy for God. I want more of Him. I pray that each of us who claim to know the Lord, that we desire more of Him. That's the only way we can walk in the overflow. See, we can preach many things, we can teach many things, I can give you many scriptures. Those things are great. But to be able to walk in the overflow of abundance in your life, and I'm not speaking prosperity, I'm not speaking finances. To walk in this overflow, you have to spend time with the Father. During this time where families have been separated, churches have been separated, many people are at home teleworking. My question is, have we taken this time to draw close to the Lord? Or have many of us become accustomed and we are still doing the same old things in the confines of our home? God wants us to spend time with Him. He's doing a transformation in the church. He is doing house cleaning. He is redecorating, restructuring, living in the overflow. Now, I want to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. This time, I will be reading out of the Amplified Bible. And all this pertains to the overflow. The outpouring of God in your life. We want that. We want when we're upon our jobs that there is an outpouring, an overflow of the Lord. In our homes, we want it where when we're in our homes, there is an outpouring, an overflow of the Lord. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love. That reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion such as is inspired by God's love for and in us. I am only a noisy gong or a clinging cymbal. Love is the greatest force in the universe. Doesn't matter how intellectual we may think we are, how of a high IQ we might think we have, how much of the word we know. Love is the most powerful force because God is love.
Amen.
And if I have prophetic powers, The gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have suffered sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. even if I dole all that I have to feed the poor and providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long, is patient, and is kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights and its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil that is done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at the injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under everything, and everything that comes is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Amen. It hopes are faithless under the circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love fails, love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As far as prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away and it will lose its value and be superseded by truth. So how should we behave as a Christian? Right there. Now, how are we able to do these things or possess this within our sinful bodies? The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. The way we can do this, if you try it on your own, you will fail. You can try, but ultimately, we will fail. The overflow, as I shared, comes from spending more time with the Father. The more time we spend with God, the more we will possess the attributes, the qualities, the very nature of our Father. It's what we call a personal relationship. Amen. Love is patient. God's love. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Spirit of God. The word used here refers to the way we deal with people. It says that we are to suffer a long time with folk. That's what we deal with. That's right. Is each other. That's right. We know how the unsaved act. But, see, it's very easy to think we're walking in the love of God in the church because you ain't been challenged. No one's confronting us in our lack of growth. We can put on a front, But I tell you what, this pandemic, coronavirus, epidemic, whatever you want to call it, it exposes the church. I'm not talking about the world right now. It exposes where we are with God and where we are not with God. See, this God is dealing with all of us, including me. I am not exempt from what is happening. The key is, are you letting God deal with you, or are you resisting God? Always remember that when Jesus ministered, he spoke in parables and he used the natural things of the world to equate and to get us to understand that what was happening in the spirit. Yes. I'm going to say something. I could be wrong, but I don't believe so. The church for decades, might even be longer than that, for decades, has had an infection. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. For a long time, the church has been sick. It has had an infection even before this coronavirus. And I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to show you what I'm referring to. As I shared, we all, God says, I chastise those that I love. And he loves us. But he wants to show us something. What's the infection? The church is meant to go into all the world and to do what? Preach the gospel. To affect the world. To affect the world. The scripture says that we are peculiar creatures. We are on a journey. This is not our home. What's the infection? The infection is that we were to go into all the world, and we have done that, to affect and to change the world. The infection is we have allowed the world to come into the church and to infect us. I've had to deal with myself during this time. And I'm talking me. I've had to deal with myself as a pastor. I have fallen on my knees and cried. I have asked the Lord to forgive me. I'm speaking me. For allowing worldliness to come in. To infect me. It's all about me. Are we living in the overflow of Christ's love? Love is kind. The word kind means to show favor to others and to move beyond hurt and injury. Paul shows that love is strength of grace that allows us to grant forgiveness. Love does not envy. This is not having feelings against others because of what they have done. Spiritual gifts, position, abilities, possessions, or anything else. Love is not begrudging, but rather shares in the joy of others. Understand, it's not my church, This is Jesus' church.
Amen.
Your church is Jesus' church.
That's right.
Everything belongs to the Lord. Have we forgotten that? My. Even I belong to the Lord.
That's
right. So I should. If we are walking in jealousy, we truly are not walking in love. Are we living in the overflow of Christ's love? Love does not boast. The Bible says that love does not brag or seek recognition. But how long have we been seeking recognition? Did it come to the place where it was just not good enough to be a pastor? Or to be a Christian? And to share the love of God to your fellow man? I've been saying for quite a while that we need to get back to the ABCs, the elementary truths of the Word of God. As the Word says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. It doesn't boast. Love doesn't boast. The Bible says that love does not brag or seek recognition. The behavior of love seeks to give, to recognize others, to honor others, and applaud when others succeed.
Amen.
Watch how often we might boast of ourselves, of our wives, of our husbands, of our jobs, of our kids. People, there's a reason why we are experiencing, why we are in this dispensation as we know it. But it's up to each and every one of us to seek God for ourselves.
Amen. Come on there.
To be made more like God. There has been a spirit of death that has been released upon this earth. One thing that I have been praying, especially for those that I love and have a relationship with, and especially my church, God's Miracle Church. And my prayer has been, you remember during the captivity of the Israelites, and on the last day, God said that if you place the blood over the doorposts, that when the death angel came, with God is always about obedience, that when that death angel came, it would see the blood and pass over. Well, that's what I've prayed for this church, for my family, for friends, for associates, even for the company I work for. I've prayed the blood of Jesus. I've placed the blood of Jesus Christ over the doorposts, over the lives of people that I know. So that when that death angel comes, it will bypass. This is a time where we must get busy. The church people, we mustn't forget, God says, my house should be called a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Love is not proud. The word here for proud means to be puffed up or conceited. The behavior of love does not look at oneself as being better than others. Love is humble. Love is humble and seeks the best. Whatever your spiritual gifts are or natural gifts are, if when we use them and we become prideful, we are neither walking nor understanding the humility of love while using our gifts. Because it is not about us. It's about the Lord working through us. He will always resist those that are prideful. And we who have been walking with God for a minute or two, and the church folk, we have lost our discernment about our leaders, about people who claim to be leaders. And that is, many take the gift of charisma and see that as anointed. You can be a very charismatic individual. And if the people are not right, they would see that as the anointing of God. You can be charismatic and not be anointed, but you can be a charismatic and anointed. It's called discernment. See, when a brother is charismatic and he's not anointed, that doesn't mean he may not be, he's not saved. He could be saved, but he may not be. Can cause a group of people to go down the wrong way. Being a pastor is a very dangerous calling. Individuals, especially young men who are saying they've been called, I always question, make sure you show you've been called and you didn't call yourself. Because God says, woe unto you who causes the least of these to go astray. We're held accountable for whether there is five people you are over or whether it's 500, 5,000. There will come a day of reckoning. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as is iniquity and idolatry. God doesn't mince words. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king. Are you walking in the overflow? Love is not rude, people. Love does not act in a way that is disgraceful or brings shame to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Love treats people with respect. Love is not self-seeking. The Greek word that is used here literally means to worship oneself. Boy, some of us think that we all let in a bag of chips. And this is a time where God has taken us as his people. And if we have allowed him, he has showed us. For none of us are perfect. We all have sinned and fallen short and come short of the glory of God. God says he's not a respecter of persons. And so during this time, if you have not done it, I would say, choose a place in your home where you can designate it as a sanctuary for the Lord. Choose a place in your home where you go to commune with the Father, where you ask the Lord to fill you with him. Choose a place in your home where there's no distraction, where there's no TV, where there's no radio, where there's no food, where there's no juice. Choose a place where you can get on your knees and say, God, show me me. Change me. Change me. Place me through the refiner's fire. Bring me and just burn off all that needs not be of you. Choose a place in your home . We are God's people. And this is a time to worship the Lord and to seek him for yourself and to cry out to him, Abba, Father. Love is not self-seeking. If you want to be seen, and it's about you once more, it is not about us. It is all about the Lord working through us in the gifts that we may have. Are we walking in the overflow of God's love? Love is not easily angered. The Bible used the word that means quick-tempered or being ready to take personal offense. Love does not allow the emotions to control, and it does not become angry without cause. Love keeps no record of wrong. This means that we cannot think evil of others and continuously focus on the wrongs that we have suffered will lead to resentment and bitterness. Love endures evil and keeps its focus on the truth. Love does not delight in evil. The word of God says here that love does not take pleasure in doing what is unrighteousness.
Amen.
Or unrighteous. Complaining because things may not go our way. Slandering others to make ourselves look right. Speaking half-truths to convince others of the wrongs that may have been done. And I say may have been done. 1 Peter 3:17 says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away by the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Love rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices when the truth is finally discovered and when it is victorious. Love always protects. God is saying that love has the power to cover every area of life and to give the needed strength to support every area of life.
Amen.
Love gives us supernatural strength to stand and cover the faults of others. We are to bear the infirmities of our weaker brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
We all get weak from time to time.
Yes,
I don't care who you think you are. I don't care how anointed you might think you are. You got flaws and you got faults. I may not see them. I got them. I have them. There's not one perfect person on this earth. Now, I'm very close to being one, but. No, seriously, I am. No. I'm joking. But I'm amazed at God. Because you know your flaws, you know your faults, you know your inconsistencies. But it's amazing how God loves us still. And he will touch a person that was the most wretched. Look at Paul. Look at David. I mean, we can go on. Look at Moses. He will touch him. I'm going to use you for my glory. Boy, just as jacked up, messed up. But God said, I'm going to use you. Do you know we are all that God can use and go use? We all are crackpots, as I've said before. All of us cracked up. Some of us a little more than others. But when we put Jesus on and the Holy Ghost comes on us and comes in us, then the Holy Ghost super glues all those cracks where we can contain the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the more we sin, when we sin, what we're doing is we're taking a hammer. Boom. Now, the anointing is seeping. The glory is moving. Still there, but it's like a slow drip. That's what's so awesome. That's why I love God so much. Because all we have to do is humble ourselves. And God, forgive me. God, I know I sinned. God, I know my heart. But God, I ask that you would use me. Help me, Father. When I'm weak, then you will be strong through me. Are we living in the overflow of Christ's love? See, trying to convey something here. The overflow is connecting more and more day by day with God. God's the generator. And we plug into the outlet. Okay? And the generator provides all the electricity. And when we plug into the outlet, we are energized, like a battery, like a cell phone. And as you know, with a cell phone, some have a longer life battery than others. But there comes a point where if you do not charge your cell phone, what does it do? It dies. I'm trying to paint a picture of us. And that is we must plug into the Lord. As he charges us, the overflow comes. It's not a one thing. It's an everyday thing. Love always trusts. The word used here means to have a perfect trust. Love gives us the ability to have a divine trust that helps us to see God's work in our lives. It also gives us the ability to see the best in others. Love always hopes. The word hopes literally means never loses hope and has every expectation of finding triumph. Love refuses to accept failure and has bright hope for the best of others. Love always perseveres. The word perseveres is a military word here that means to withstand an attack. This means that love, the love of Christ is our strength and acts as our fortress during the attack. Understand that the more we walk with God and the more we possess God, His abilities, we will from time to time come under attack. But when we are walking in the overflow, when we're walking in the overflow, we will always be victorious. These are things that God promises us. There are promises, the whole word of God is a promise. But understand there are conditions that has to be met to reap and to walk in the promises. Prerequisites. And I'm ending. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's out of Romans 8:37-38. But notice all those things that they do not have the ability to keep the love of Christ from our lives. The love of Christ is more powerful than life itself. Death cannot even keep it from us. The love of Christ is more powerful than spiritual beings. Even the most diabolic plot from hell cannot keep it from us. The love of Christ is more powerful than time itself. Even when time comes to an end, the love of Christ will remain. The love of Christ is more powerful than mortal strength. Even the greatest power on earth cannot keep it from us. The love of Christ is more powerful than any distance. Even the deepest of depths and the highest of heights cannot keep it from us. The love of Christ is more powerful than all of creation. Absolutely nothing in all of the universe can keep it from us. That list that I just read, it looks all-inclusive and seems to have covered all of the bases. But however, there is one thing that can keep us from the love of God that is found only in Christ Jesus. And that is me. That is you. Because, why do I say that? Because God has given us a choice. He won't force anything on us. Only I can keep it from coming, from possessing it. We are the only thing standing between the overflow of the love that falls from heaven and the love that we need. We are the persons that keep us from experiencing the overflow and its awesome power. It is me that can stop the overflow. God wants to overflow, but I can say, no, I don't want the overflow. See, there is the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. The perfect will of God is to fill each of us with the overflow, where it's overflowing, But the permissive will of God will permit you, or permit me, to close it up so that the overflow cannot flow. You are the person that keeps you from experiencing the overflow. We point it at other people. You are the individual that keeps yourself from experiencing the overflow and its awesome power. You, me, you are the only one that can accept the filling of the overflow. We can live in the overflow of God's divine love, but the choice belongs to each and every one of us. You can lead a horse to water, as we heard, but you can't make him drink. I can throw water in his face. I can do whatever, but I cannot make him drink. But the choice belongs to each of us. Choose and walk accordingly. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-8, charity, love. What is it? Are you walking in the overflow of Christ's love? Let me pray. Lord God, those that are right now listening to the sound of my voice and have watched this message, this sermon, I pray that your anointing went forth, and I pray for every soul right now. You know who I'm talking to. You young man, you've been seeking the Lord, and it's not by happen chance that you happen upon this message. God is calling out to you. You young lady, you've been running. You've been scared. You were raised in the church, but you just went your way. I want you to repeat after me as I pray. Lord God, I come to you. I have sinned. I've done it my way. Father, I'm now here. I want to do it your way. And Father, I give my life to you. I accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord, as my Savior. I ask that you would take me and use me for your glory. From this day forth, I give myself to you. And I say that from this moment forth, I am a child of God. I am saved. And as this went forth through the airways, the anointing of God is touching many of you right now. Let the anointing of God work in you and work with you. For Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He even died for us. Such a loving Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.